Good afternoon. My name is Eileen Shirey. I'm here with my husband, Dick. We are parishioners at the Church of St. Vincent de Paul in Albany. But I have to say, coming here to Auriesville is very much a homecoming for me because my hometown is Johnstown. And what I remember very clearly, my father telling the story of how his family, his Irish father, had the family walk from Johnstown to Auriesville at least twice a summer because Auriesville was very important in family prayer. And what I'm going to be saying ties into Celtic spirituality. I've heard Father Christy Javine speak a few times about what he referred to as the thin places. In Celtic spirituality, there's a belief that certain places on earth are located where the world of the sacred touches the natural world. A thin spot is like a thin veil between the natural and sacred experience. The sacraments are thin spots for us Catholic Christians. These rituals are intended to open each person to the possibility of experiencing divine presence. And certainly the Eucharist provides the possibility of experiencing the presence of Christ. People like Saint Ignatius and Mother Teresa have also proposed that the divine presence is to be experienced everywhere in one's daily activities. Now, knowing that I'm not a saint, I long ago gave up on finding God in all things, as Ignatius would propose. But let me tell you a story of an experience that helped me to connect the presence of Christ both in Eucharist and life experience. Jess was a student in remedial math class that I was teaching at Genesee Community College in 1977. He was one of many students who entered through the open door policy of the community colleges. That is, there were no admission requirements. The beginning coursework was remedial. And depending on the student, some were more serious about study than others. Jess was one of the serious students. He faithfully submitted his homework. He studied and did well on tests. He was friendly. He participated in class discussions. But then one day, he stopped coming to class. He no longer appeared anywhere on campus, and all of his teachers were puzzled that he would drop out without notifying any one of us. There was no record of accident or illness. The following semester, the only opportunity for me to teach, and I was just starting out teaching, I was looking for every possible way of getting my foot in the door. The only opportunity was to teach in a new program that had been created by college to offer college courses at Attica Prison. This program was a follow-up to address the inmates' requests during the time of the Attica Rebellion. They were asking for higher education. And so this program was created. And I was not particularly thrilled about going into the prison, but it was the only game in town, and so I kind of dragged myself there. I did not see the class list until it was handed to me as I was walking through the prison corridors en route to the classroom. And as I scanned the list, guess whose name was on the list? Jess's name jumped out at me. When I got into the classroom, the inmates had all assembled, and I looked around for Jess. I could not find him and thought the irony, well, he's still not accounted for. He's not here. But at intermission, Jess came up to me saying, "Remember me?" The reason I had not recognized him was that he had been beaten so badly that his face was swollen and distorted. He told me that he had been sentenced to 7 years for possession of marijuana. So here was a young man who had been trying to improve his life and had been totally uprooted from his good work because he smoked pot. And his physical condition of extreme punishment was extreme relative to his crime. Immediately, I thought to myself, I know several of teachers at the community college who hold pot parties on the weekend. I couldn't help but notice the hypocrisy of a system that jailed pot smokers who happened to be impoverished and looked away from the pot smokers who were professional and privileged. Upon further reflection, I realized that the disturbing experience of seeing Jess so badly beaten had changed my life. I knew that I needed to take every opportunity I might have to tell his story. And I also knew that it was going to be important to get better at teaching remedial math and to make use of any opportunities I might have to reach out to people who were imprisoned. So for me, the ugliness of Jess's swollen face and his pain and humiliation, this experience was in fact a thin spot in my life. I was seeing what Mother Teresa called the face of Christ in hideous disguise.